Prayer. Our Father God, we we come to you once again this afternoon. Lord, we come to you in thanksgiving, Lord, for your sovereignty. Father, for your grace, your mercy that you bestow upon us. Father, we come to you this afternoon in prayer for those that are not here, Father, those that are sick and unable to join us right now. Father, we lift them up to you, and those that are traveling. And Father, you know the needs of our brothers and sisters, and Father, we lift them up to you. We ask now that this afternoon, as we discuss this topic, that it brings you glory, and it's in Christ Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Oh, this afternoon, just very briefly, I know that Brother David has an announcement, so we'll keep it pretty short, but. Please, this is participatory this afternoon. So, yeah, I'm looking for input. So we are going to... Big words. That's not a big word, Miss Sandra. Come on. Okay, I'm going to need all of y'all to join in. How's that? Oh. I practiced in the mirror this morning. Oh. Platitudes. What's a platitude? When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. It will look better in the morning. If there are plenty more fish in the sea. If you can dream it, you can achieve it. When it rains, it pours. Anybody else? Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. A platitude, the quality or state of being dull or insipid. A remark or statement that may be true but is boring and has no meaning because it has been said so many times before. Now, can we think of any Christian platitudes? I'll start us off. How about God never gives us more than we can handle? Anybody else? How about God helps those who help themselves? Money is the root of all evil. Faith moves mountains. When God closes a door, He opens a window. There you go. All right. Some of these Christian platitudes are absolutely wrong. Some of them are somewhat wrong. And there are some of them that may indeed be true or have an air of truth about them. We just had the loss of a dear brother, Brother Chester. How would you feel if you were part of his family and someone approached you while you were in that situation with a Christian platitude? Proverbs 26:7-9. Proverbs 26:7-9 tells us, like the legs which are useless to the lame, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds a stone in a sling, so is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn which falls into the hand of a drunkard, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. As Christians, we're called to be the salt and light. And the manifestation of that salt and light is in our speech. Turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 23 through 25. Would someone like to read that for us? Go ahead, Brother David. Oh, sorry.
Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the glory you see today.
Do we see the relevance there? How we should, what? Consider how to stimulate one another in love and in good deeds. Verse 25, how we should encourage or be an encouragement, encouraging one another. So how do we as Christians ensure that encouragement to others that it's not trite or that it doesn't fall flat? Any ideas?
Saturate
our minds with the Word of God. In due season. Yes, we'll speak a word in due season. I have a few things here. Number one is discernment. Discernment. Should I say anything at all? Should I just listen? Maybe I should just hold their hand. We need to be discerning of the situation that we find ourselves in. We need to stop. And as Brother David said, be saturated in the Word enough to read others, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can use spiritual discernment. Number two, intent or accomplish. So what is our intent? What do we mean to accomplish with that? Back a little bit to our discernment. Is this a lost person that I'm trying to share the gospel with? Is this the right time to share Christ? Just because we have that knowledge and we can, if it's a lost person and they're hurting, we know Christ is the only thing that can soothe or salve that hurt. But is the Holy Spirit prompting them for reception of that word at that time? Maybe not. We need to discern that. We need to measure our intent and what we mean to accomplish. Is this a believer and should we encourage them? Sometimes that word can be cutting or harsh that the Lord discern. We're using discernment and at that time, or maybe it needs to be in love and with measured out in mercy. Proverbs 25:11 tells us, like apples of gold in setting of silver, a word is spoken in right circumstance. Another thing is we need to be honest and humble. We need to show humility. Although we must be ready in season and out of season to give an answer for our faith, we must also be humble enough to admit when we don't have the answers. Humble enough to admit that. I don't know. Hard three words to say at times. We should remember our own desires to have truth spoken to us and for people to be authentic when we're in their shoes. My dad, one of his terms is he can't stand a person that's phony. And a lot of times these platitudes or little trite things, they come off as, you know, not sincere, unsincere. So we need to be honest. We need to be transparent. As I said, be humble enough to say, I don't know. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Picking up in verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 31. Brother Wayne, would you mind reading that for us today?
For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it stands written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through the wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe.
Keep going all the way to verse 30, brother.
For Jews demand signs and Greek seeks wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Consider your calling, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So that as it stands written, let the one who boasts in the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. So it's not in our wisdom, but the wisdom of God that we should reply. Tells us God is pleased through the foolishness of the message that is preached. As I said this morning, he doesn't call the gifted, he gifts the called. It's in God's power that we should be answering or giving counsel to. It is Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of man, God is wiser, he says, than the foolishness of men. So God can work through us even in our foolishness, for he is all wise. Your word, shame, is here. It says that he shames the wise. He shames the strong. Why? So that he might be glorified. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. In a society of chaos, the church of God should have the answers. We are called to have a depth of thought to contrast the shallowness of this world. Goes to what Brother David said a moment ago. We need to be, or what I preached this morning, we need to be baptized in the Word of God. We need to be submerged in Him day by day by day, that when that time comes, we can give good and proper counsel. Romans 11:33, on the depths of the riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Application. Putting this to application. Anyone have any suggestions, any ideas? When to speak, using humility, using judgment, using discernment. In particular situations. Be slow to speak. Amen and amen.
Not being slow to speak.
Yes.
Whatever we say needs to pass through that sanctified mind first before it comes off of our tongue.
That's right. Yeah.
And we're prone to speak first in that way.
And the Bible equates our tongue to the rudder of a ship, and how much damage can be done. How much damage can be done? With our tongues. Absolutely. Have you ever had somebody, how often do we say, pray for me? And what is our typical response? I'll pray for you. Oh, yeah, yeah. We're praying for you. I have a friend of mine that I worked with years back, and I was talking to him yesterday, as a matter of fact. And we were discussing, and I was telling him a little bit of this, and I told him, I said, yeah, I've made a, you know, try to make a promise to myself. If someone says pray for me, if at all possible, I stop and pray for them right then. And he said, oh, I know, I've watched you do it. You know, he said, it was a little different. And I said, yeah. And he said, I've asked you to pray for me on the phone. You know, we're talking on the phone. He'll say, pray for me. I said, okay. And I pray. And he said, that was odd, man. I said, well, it's out of our normal. It shouldn't be, though, should it? I mean, pray for me. Okay. I'll pray. Brother David asked me this past week. He said, brother, this and this and this, I need you to be in prayer about it. We prayed right there over the phone. So you know, be genuine. What about following up with them? We gave the example a moment ago of someone that's lost, that's hurting. This week, tomorrow, we're going to see those of us that have opportunity to go to this funeral. There's going to be family members there. We know, even from Brother Chester himself, they're lost. They don't know the Lord. Tomorrow may not be the best time to share Christ. But should we follow up? Should we go back to them at a later time? We're Christians. If anyone should be following up with them, it should be us. Hey, I wanted to check on you. How are you holding up? In that, they see, they can see the Lord. They can see Christ. And the Lord can use that. He uses the foolishness of men. So we should follow up. What about brothers and sisters, a believer that's hurting or needs help? We should follow up with them as well.
Well, I think that's part of that Hebrews 10:23-25
passage. Yes, sir.
Shared on Sunday morning, Wednesday nights, we did like that. To have those things before our eyes.
Look at the interest of others more than your own.
Have the interest of others more so than our own interest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Putting others before us. You equated the tongue and in the marital relationship. It's the same way. What do? We put ourselves ahead of our partner or our mate when, in fact, we should be putting them first. And, yep. So, trite, platitudes. We're ready to spill those out. Hey, man. Buckle up. Come on. Man up. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, the world's giving you lemons, make lemonade. No. We as Christians are better than that. We should think on this. Use wisdom. Use humility. And be ready to give an answer when the situation arises. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we pray today that, Lord, you reveal your word to us. As we seek you, we seek your face. Lord, may we not be quick to speak. May we be quick to listen. Father, may we listen to the Holy Spirit of God that lives and dwells within us, that we would be ready to give a word when that time is appropriate. Father, we pray that your word be received on the ears of those that you would have us speak it to. May it always be salted with humility and love. For Father, you are love, and you have shown us your love through the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen.